Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning,
Thanks
Catherine.
Thanks for making the trip down from Beacon Hill.
Wonderful to be here.
So let's first start out by talking about Mikowicz himself. He's new to this job as Ways and Means Chairman, and his position is enormously influential on Beacon Hill.
Yeah, Mikowicz himself is a born and raised North End Boston politician, I should say. He's been in the House for about 10 years. He used to work for former Speaker Sal DeMacy. He's only 40 years old, but he's a veteran of the House in that 10 years that he's been in there. And he really has quickly risen up through the ranks to become one of, if not the top lieutenant to House Speaker Robert DeLeo, as DeLeo kind of enters into the second decade of his tenure at atop Beacon Hill. I talked to him last week. He calls himself a pragmatic progressive. I kind of put it to him directly. Do you consider yourself a progressive Democrat? And he said that, yes, those are the goals he shares. However, he is much more about getting things done. And that definitely speaks to the way he has kind of maneuvered in the halls of the building and kind of gained power. He is a guy who plays the game to get things done. He is probably most known for the Airbnb bill, which I think a lot of your listeners are probably familiar with. He was the chief negotiator on the House side for that and was really the guy at the table that brought that together. And it was a bit of a bumpy road on a very controversial topic. And he did get the job done, and the law is now in effect. And I think that's why DeLeo really gave him the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, when it comes to Ways and Means, which is the most powerful budget writing committee on Beacon Hill.
Right. And House lawmakers are set to start debating this budget next week. But let's face it, the legislature doesn't exactly have the best record in getting the budget done on time or even early, heaven forbid, so that they can get to other big issues, of which, you know, over the past couple months, you and I have talked about so many things on their agenda. So this is kind of round one in what's going to be many debates, as we know, with each budget cycle, including some with the Senate. You know, how can or even how Mikowicz avoid what happened last year when there was that budget standoff and things kind of fell apart? The budget was late. And then really the legislature didn't get that much done.
Yeah, the late budget last year derailed so many other priorities that Democrats wanted to get passed. And they have supermajorities in both chambers and they couldn't come to terms at midnight. They ended up passing a bunch of stuff after midnight that was invalid. They literally went to the deadline. That is the way their negotiations work. Some may argue that's a bit dysfunctional, but that is how it works. When lawmakers say they ran out of time, that's what they mean. Yeah, it is. It
throw
is
up your
ludicrous
hands to that. Yeah,
to a lot of different people. But yeah, and I think that they understand that that was a problem last year. The most interesting thing about this budget that the House and Mikowicz rolled out last week is how boring it is. And I say that because we are talking so much about potentially raising taxes down the road to pay for schools, to pay for roads and bridges in the MBTA, to pay for all sorts of different things that the Democrats want to pass. Those tax hikes are not in this budget. This is a pretty status quo, not level funded. There are investments in different things. It's about 3% growth over last year, but it doesn't do anything to raise taxes and pay for those big ticket items everyone acknowledges is going to have to come.
Right.
That's because that conversation is going to happen after they pass the budget. So you could say that they are actually being responsible. Get the budget done, get it on time, then move on to the big controversial arguments and debates over raising taxes throughout the rest of the year.
Mm. And do you think that the Senate's going to be willing to play ball that way? I mean, you talked to him. I think we have a quote from him. Let's hear what he had to say.
We want to work together. We want to make it not a House versus Senate thing. We got enough challenges dealing with the governor, so we got to try to stick together as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, and that's something that we weren't really hearing between the House and the Senate last year. In the kind of the changeover from when Senate President Rosenberg resigned, Senator Chandler became the Senate president, and now Senator Spilka from Ashland is the Senate president. It was a really kind of hectic transitional period last year during this whole budget time. And I think now they realize that they're dealing with Spilka. They know the kind of the players on the table in a way they didn't last year. And there is an acknowledgement that the House is now ready to entertain these kind of revenue ideas that the Senate has always kind of been interested in. The Senate is a lot more liberal than the House usually. They've been raring to go for some time. Now the House is kind of getting behind them, and they might accomplish something down the road.
Yeah, I love when talking about Massachusetts politics because we have Democrats basically running everything. That we get into the nuances.
Well, you have to. Yeah. I mean, the Republican Party just is not that strong in Massachusetts. When I'm covering the state house, the conflict, the argument, the debate, what people should know about and what is, you know, the stakes on the table are between the moderate Democrats and the progressive Democrats, you know, and where the unions play in and where the different lobbies and everything do. It's not at all like Washington, where there are is a very clear partisan divide. It's just kind of a mess topic to topic when you get within the Democratic Party.
Right. I want to play another quote from Michalowicz here, who talked about with you when you sat down with him about what he kind of foresees happening after they get this budget in the can.
Right.
There is a lot on the table still. You have a revenue conversation happening. You have the Education Foundation budget review commission legislation that's still on the table. You have sports betting, which is still on the table. So there's a whole host of different things that are being talked about right now.
And of course, we've talked about in the weeks leading up to this week about different ideas for taxes and stuff. But I'm curious to know, sure, there's going to be all this discussion about the types of taxes they can levy. But with things like roads and bridges that are so paramount across the state here, what are they eyeballing that would be a priority?
Yeah, the general rule when it comes to transportation funding is that there's got to be something for everybody. Because the MBTA, the public transit in the Boston area, is so important and so crumbling, and there is an acknowledgement that that is really the economic engine for the entire state, if they're going to fix the T and invest in the T, you got to get roads and bridges money out there as well, so that representatives from Pittsfield, from, you know, Amherst, from Provincetown will have a reason to vote for more money. So it's kind of a all-in rising tide kind of a thing. Another thing that they might debate is something called RBIs, a regional ballot initiative, that is kind of a new idea. They're working out the details. What this would do is let a region, such as Cape Cod, such as Western Mass, join together to raise a new tax to pay for things exclusively for something like the CCRTA.
Now, that's interesting, and I'm going to want to hear more about that, especially if that actually does come to the table, because, as we know, the Cape is at once a region, but then also 15 unique towns with their own identities and agendas. Mike, Deanne, thanks so much for stopping by our Woods Hole studios to talk with us this morning about what's happening on Beacon Hill. We'll check in with you next week from Boston.
Yep, great to be on Cape Cod right now, though.